Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation which you have made for the world through faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world, that all who call upon him can be forgiven freely and saved eternally. What a simple, free to us, yet very costly, and yet powerful salvation. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray for the filling of your Spirit to teach and preach that which you have laid upon my heart this week for the church, for your church. And pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit and use her, relaying the message in sign today. I thank you for the word that's gone forth already, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour. Might we listen to your word? Might we learn to obey you, follow you? Might the fruits of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all those things, fill more and more of our lives? And might the world know that we're different. Give us opportunities to share that blessed gospel message, opportunities as well to pray for and support missionaries. We thank you for those opportunities that you have given. Help us to be faithful in them. And Father, we do pray, and we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Lord, laid upon my heart to preach a missionary message this morning. We have our missionaries coming next Sunday morning, and I want you to have a heart tuned to missions, because we'll be, as we always do, taking up a love offering for our missionaries. By the way, all our missionaries who've come here, not a one has ever demanded a penny. They don't come demanding anything. I've had many want to come who have had a minimum demand, and you've never seen one of them. The ones who come, come by faith, that God's people will give just as God directs them. And so that's why we want to give, as the Lord directs. Amen. And what I say this year is the same I say every year. How much do you give? As much as God tells you. Don't give more than that. Don't give less than that. Give as much as God tells you. And that's what he has for each one of us, to give as God directs. And so I want to speak on missions this morning. How shall they preach except they be sent? And that's, I don't know that we have a greater task, greater responsibility as a church to be senders of missionaries and to support those who are taking the gospel message to the world. If all nations need to call upon the name of the Lord, then they need to know that message. Somebody needs to get that message to them. So we see, number one, first of all, we are to heed the Lord of the harvest and pray for missionaries. We are to heed the Lord of the harvest and pray for missionaries. And I'll be using some different other passages of Scripture here. In Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And so we need to be praying that God would send forth missionaries. And to this point, in the book of Acts, we have the first missionary sending church. Church of Jerusalem should have done that, but they failed, and God had to send missionaries out from them by way of persecution. They were persecuted, and the people scattered. This church in Antioch became the first to send them out at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and to foreign lands, and so it's a good example to follow. So we need to heed the Lord of the harvest and to pray for missionaries. A missionary must be called by God. Acts 13:2 says, as they, that's the church in Antioch, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here is this church in Antioch. It's growing. They're serving the Lord. They're following God's command. And while they're serving and ministering, the Holy Spirit speaks to those in the church, saying, I want these to go to that work where I've called them. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the details of that. How was it God called them? Was it an audible voice? Probably not at this time. It may be that as they were teaching in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas and others, they felt that calling in their heart. And you said, no, maybe we should go to some of these foreign places. And they began talking with the elders of the church, perhaps, and praying over that. The Bible says it happened after fasting and prayer. And so they came to realize that God had put the desire for Barnabas and Saul to go on this mission. They began to realize this was God's calling. Bible didn't give us the exact details. Likely it happened over at least a period of time. It didn't happen immediately. Because the Bible says as they fasted and prayed, they probably fasted more than a day and prayed about it and such. So they're called by God. And a missionary needs to be called by God. In John 15:16, Jesus said about his apostles, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. I want you to go and serve me. And I have appointed you. And so they were to go and bring forth that fruit. When they were sent forth from that church at Antioch there, God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That was an authoritative calling. They were being called to a mission. And as I said, we don't know the details of how the Spirit revealed that to him. We just know that he did. We know that he did. By the way, God's not trying to hide his will from you and I. Fact is, we probably know all that we will obey right now. I want to obey God some more, but he just hadn't showed me his will. Maybe we're not reading the Bible enough. We need to obey that command, you know, to have his word hidden in our heart. And then maybe it's something that he has for you, but you're not ready to obey it yet, or I'm not ready to obey it yet. But sure enough, when we're in God's word praying, wanting to do God's will, God will show us his will. A missionary needs to be called by God. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul was appointed a preacher. Now, there are differences of opinion on how a missionary is called. How does someone decide, I'm going to become a full-time missionary? I'm going to leave my job, go to a foreign country, and take the gospel to them and start a church. How does someone determine that calling? I had one teacher in Bible school that he taught that everybody is called to be a missionary. Matthew 28, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, everybody's really called to go. Matter of fact, you really need an exception not to go. I understand what he's saying. I personally don't fully agree with that. I think there's additional calling, just like we saw here, where the Holy Spirit somehow said and made it clear, separate these two for the work whereunto I have called them. So he had something additional and specific for them. I think that's the way it works in a missionary's heart. I think God begins working those things out in their heart as they're serving God. We'll see that. They're called by God to take the gospel somewhere, to be in full-time ministry. I remember asking my pastor, how do you know when you're being called into full-time ministry? And he said to me, well, the fact that you're asking is something you maybe ought to make you look into it and begin praying about it. Because the Spirit was stirring that interest and that drawing. A missionary must be called by God. What else do we see? A missionary must be compelled by God. Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. By the way, don't let me brush by point A too quickly. We need to be praying that God will call missionaries. The world needs more missionaries. That God will speak to hearts and show them, I want you to go to a foreign field. I want you and your family to go and be used here or there. And we need to be praying for that. We're commanded to do that. Pray, Lord of the harvest. But they must be compelled by God. That is, they need to know they're sent forth by the Holy Spirit. You know what? Because I can't help a missionary be faithful on the field. You can't guarantee that, neither can I. All one can guarantee they'll be faithful is God. Amen? He's the only one that can give them the strength they need to do such a task. And so a missionary needs to be assured in their heart that God is calling. Because where God guides, God will provide. And yes, God uses his church, his people, to do that. We'll see that. Must be compelled by the Spirit of God. I like the way my wife put that on the deaf outline. It says they need to be pulled by God, by the Spirit. You see, God is what? Ever drawing us to him, isn't he? I was telling her that this morning. She chose the word pulled, not pushed. See, when you pull someone, you're drawing them in the direction towards you. I'm coming with you, God's saying. When you push someone, you're pushing them away from you. I like that. I like that choice of words. That's what God does. He draws us toward him. And God called Noah into the ark and shut the door. Why? Because God was already in there. He was going with him on the trip, folks. And God goes with our missionaries on the trip. By the way, that's why we have faithful missionaries. That's why we've been blessed that for as many years as they've been on the field, not one of them has quit. They're all still faithful.
though despite many trials. Why? There's only one explanation for that. God's with him. God is with him.
Missionary must be compelled by God. Acts 13:4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Better make sure it's God telling you to go. And by the way, when that call comes, well, you need to go. We'll get there. Get ahead of myself. But a missionary must be compelled by God. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul was talking about laboring for the Lord, and he himself was a missionary. Here's what he said about his motive, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It's that love of Christ that is compelling us to share that love with others. Why? Because others get saved the same way I do. It's that same gospel. If they'll believe it, they'll be saved too. By the way, how many of you love that the Lord is in your life? Amen. How many of your life is better since you've come to know Jesus? Amen. Amen. By the way, we want others to know that as well. They can experience the same, they can eventually say that same amen that you said, that I've said, if they'll only believe. He will forgive if they'll only believe, one song says. And by the way, I love it when he comes in your heart, he comes in forever, amen. It's a forever love. He's talking about that laboring, and this message came to them as they fasted and prayed. This wasn't some flippant thing. This was serious, earnest. Wherein God showed. If God's calling you to the mission field, it's a serious, earnest thing. It'll involve some prayer and fasting on your part, for sure. Missionary must be compelled by God. Secondly, not only do we need to heed the Lord of the harvest and pray for missionaries, but secondly, we need to honor the Lord of the harvest and provide for missionaries. Honor the Lord of harvest and provide for missionaries. How should they preach? Except they be sent. Sent on that official mission, as opposed to a general sending. Yes, we all go our ways into the world, where every believer is a light for the Lord. You're a light in your job. You're a light in your neighborhood. You're a witness and a light among your friends and family. Everywhere you go, God says, you are the light of the world, all of us. The only question is, are we being the light God has called us to be? So we all go in that general sense. But this is a specific calling. It's called to give yourself fully to that and go to the mission field. Honor the Lord of the harvest and provide for missionaries so that they can go. The Holy Spirit worked through the church to send them to send forth the apostles. He's working through the church. I love the local church. Christ has chosen to work through the local church. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, the disciples didn't say, what's the church? What do you mean by a church, Jesus? They knew what a church was. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. It's a called out, and a lot of people like to leave the last part out. It's a called out assembly. That's what we are. You're part of the church. If you're a Christian, you're called out of the world. Now you're part of the church. No, church is a called out assembly. And they knew what it was. In the New Testament time, it was a group of people that were separated out, and they gathered together to do some business. Like if the city council down here at Corvallis had a meeting, and they all left their homes and met down there wherever they meet, the city council, that's a church. Why? Because they're called out to meet, and as they meet, they take care of a certain business. That's a church. Understand? So they're called out to meet. We're called out, what? To meet, and here we are.
And we are to do the business of God, that is, getting the gospel into all the world. Being the lights where we go, that's all about Christian living and loving and ministering to one another. But also sending missionaries to foreign lands that they know about Jesus too. And be able to learn those things. That God works through the church. Notice that's where the Spirit came. Spirit didn't come to somebody who's out there being that Lone Ranger Christian. Yeah, people tell all the time, well, I don't believe you have to go to some building and go to church. I worship God out there in the woods. Do you really? Well, that's good. The woods can tell you that God's the creator, and that's all it can tell you. And by the way, once the woods tell you there's a creator, you got to start looking for him. And once you start looking for him, you know where you find out more about him? Right here. Because that's where the revelation of creation will lead you to look for the Creator, and you'll find it in the Word, find Him in the Word of God. And the church is what? The pillar of the truth, the ground of the Word of God. Where the church gathers God's people. They were in the church that was Antioch. Prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Lucius, Paul, Simeon. All these were gathered together, serving the Lord together as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. They're already serving God there. The Holy Spirit said, send forth, set forth, separate Barnabas and Saul. Missionary, know that God has called you. And the church is to support them, send them out. It's sad to think annually. Americans spend more on dog food than church contributions. Americans spend more on dog food than church contributions. Here's the sad part. Some Christians spend more on dog food than church contributions. That's the sad part. That's the sad truth. We have greater things to invest in, folks. We have eternal things. I like dogs. We had one. We fed her. You know, she never starved because we were given to missionaries, okay? But I'll guarantee you, she never got more than the missionaries, okay? And we have greater things to give to. And with that thought in mind, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 9:7. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Could you imagine? If we spoke to our young folks who go into the military, we need a build up in our military. And we're going to make a list of names. And now, while you're going in the military, you still need to take care of your house. You still got to pay your bills. You still got to take care of all that. And we want you to prepare and go fight for our country if necessary. How many thinks that would make sense? That wouldn't make sense. No man goeth a warfare, Paul says. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? It wouldn't make sense. You're expecting somebody to leave their home and yet take care of their home. To give themselves wholly to some other cause and yet take care of something that they actually can't. The missionary is called what? They are called to go to a foreign country and to go to war in that way. They're going to a warfare and they need that support. And so we need to count them worthy of being supported and of supporting their work. See a few things about that. We count them worthy as they ministered because they've been separated. By the way, the Christian life is a warfare. Before I get too far away from that, they give their lives. Well, I'm going to keep going. We count them worthy because they've been separated. Look at verse 2 of Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, they were set apart, we know now, to go on those missionary journeys. To leave where they
were ministering sometime there, several years, most likely at Antioch.
And now they're going to be traveling
and starting churches. When a missionary is called to something, they are also what? Called from something. They've been separated from that. Now, here's why we honor missionaries. You see, every one of us is called to deal with the possibility, is God calling me to be a missionary? By the way, Christian, until the day, you know, well, if you don't have that said, some of you maybe have no God's calling for you. He's shown you that. You're right where he wants you to be. Or as best you know, you're right where he wants you to be. That's great. That's where you need to be. I often tell God that. God, as best I know, I'm where you want me to be. And if there's something else, Lord, you'll have to show me. As best I know my heart, if you'll show me, I'll do this. I'll do that. Or I'll go here. Or I'll go there. As best I know my heart, I'll do that, God. And if we maintain that kind of attitude and worship before God, he'll guide us and direct us. But they've been separated. See, some of us maybe are struggling with the thing. Well, am I being called to be a missionary or not? But listen, they would have to struggle with that. But listen, the missionary who has been called, who's got that settled, what? That question is now in the past. Now God has called. And so what do? They got to get ready. They've been separated. They've got to get ready to go. In Luke 14:33, the Bible talks about being disciples. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If we don't realize that following Jesus is the most important thing in the world, and going where he wants us to go, doing what he wants us to do, and saying what he wants us to say is more important than any person or anything in the world, then the Bible says we're not even ready to be a disciple. We're not even ready to follow him yet the way he wants us to. But if best we know our hearts, we are. Now the doors are opening. And certainly that's what a missionary oftentimes is called to. When we are called to something, we are called from something. They have been separated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was writing to the church there, and they were talking about giving an offering to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. They believe God led them to do that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so the Bible says they purposed to do it. They said, we're going to do that. And here's Paul's answer to them. 2 Corinthians 8:11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. You got that? Now therefore, perform the doing of it. Okay, you're sure you believe that God has called you to give this offering to the poor Jews that are in Jerusalem? Now do it. And for the missionary, it says, okay, I believe that God's calling me to the mission, but what does God say? Okay, now do it. Now get busy. Be getting ready to go. Be looking into what you need to do. And see, while some may still be struggling with, is God calling me or not? The missionary is beyond that. God's word to them is now go do it. That's why we are to be supporting them. And endeavoring to serve God in that way. Now perform the doing of it. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, Jesus said, Matthew 10:37. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, Jesus said. Supreme love belongs to Jesus Christ alone. And by the way, it is possible. Follow him as a disciple in that way, loving him supremely. Didn't Peter say to the Lord, he said in Luke 18:28, lo, we have left all and followed thee. We've left it all, Jesus. And they had, by the way. You read your Bible, Peter and John and
and Andrew, and James and John and Peter and Andrew, they had a good fishing business going. They had servants and such. They had a good thing going in their business. But one day, Jesus came up to the boats and says, hey, Peter, I want you to follow me. James, John, Andrew, I want you to follow me. And they had to what? They left those boats behind. They left their family businesses behind to do what Jesus had called them to do. They counted him worthy of that calling. But Jesus, how will you? What will we? We didn't hear any of that, did we? And by the way, Jesus took care of them, didn't he? He led them. Thank God he led them. His power was shown in their lives because of they're worthy of our support because they have been separated out. They're called to a missionary who knows they've been called has been called to what? Forsake the American dream. I'll work here, I'll get a good job, I'll build a house, I'll raise a family, I'll have a good retirement plan, I'll vacation where I want, I'll have the friends that I want, I'll have the hobbies that I want. The American dream. The missionary says, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. That's why they're worthy of support. I use Matt and Rebecca as an example, and the kids, not because they're family, but because we know them intimately. They've been in our church, and we don't know it. We as a church don't know any missionary thing better than we know them. A good part of their growing up as Christian was in this church, and Matt was very blessed in the National Guard. He went up the ranks. I forget how far he got to E6. In the army. And I remember before this calling that, you know, he began making some more money, more than he ever made, and they began doing very well and bought a house and sold that. And the next house they bought, they were well enough off that they could pick from the architect the house they wanted to have it built the way they wanted. They had a very, very nice house in Woodburn, beautiful house, room for all the 5 kids. And then one day God says, come here a minute, I want you. And so what did Matt do? He quit his job. He had to give up that. They've been talking about retirement. It was planned out as far as worldly plans go. He could have retired early, get the house paid off, do what American dream. But you know what? God began to change their hearts. And even before God's call became sure, that thing became empty in Matt's heart. And he says, you know, if we get all this stuff, what's it really mean? You know what that was? That was the calling of God. Some people, God says, you're going to stay, you're right where God wants you to be. You'll retire, you're staying here. Nothing wrong with having a nice home, retiring, and serving the Lord here. Nothing wrong with that. But God began to say to Matt and to the family, I don't have that for you. I have a specific calling for you. And so, folks, when God has another calling for you, anything else won't satisfy. And by the way, God will see to that. If God has something else for you in his will or for me, listen, you won't find satisfaction anywhere else. I've often told God, the center of his will is where I want my children to be, no matter what that may be. And by the way, my grandchildren, our grandchildren, they're going to take 5 grandchildren with them. They'll be leaving. They're planning to leave on deputation about this time next year. selling the house to buy a RV and a truck to pull it. You know who pays for all that? They do. They're selling what they have, and they have to pay out of their wallet for all that traveling. When the time comes through to Australia, the containers need to be shipped and all that. You know who pays for that? They do. There's no big denomination. We're an independent Baptist church, and that's where they go to church. There's no big, some big denomination that takes care of their expenses because they feel called to be missionaries. That doesn't happen. They do. But hopefully, what? Churches like us support them. Because they haven't demanded a thing of us. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't call us. Amen. And He does. And He does call us. And so they are preparing. They've been accepted to this mission board now. And they're going through all the steps. You know, they're looking at the price of the truck and trailer and vehicle to buy. And trying to discern, you know, how to save the most money doing that. Because of their separation. They're worthy of our support. Because of their service. They're worthy of our support. Acts 13:2 says, As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. You see, these people were already faithful in the local church. They were busy. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Well, I'm not doing anything in the church. I don't know what I want to do. I don't think God has anything for me here. I guess I'll be a missionary. That's not what happened, folks. They've been serving and been faithful in the... You know, if you can't do anything else, be a missionary. Don't think that, even for a second. They were serving faithful in the local church for years. By the way, Matt and Rebecca were too. Many years. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, you see, God usually picks for the mission field those that are busy. Make no mistake about it. If you're not fully surrendered to God to be a missionary where you are right now, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your local church, in your town, if you're not fully surrendered to be a missionary there, God has not called you to the foreign field. See, because that'll come first. That burden, that desire for souls will come first. And then God, as He grows you, can call you out and move you where He wants you to be. See, because God doesn't skip His local church. That's His design. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, until Jesus comes, God will be working through the church. There'll be a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church somewhere you can go to until the Lord returns. Oh, they're all gone now. No, they're not. Jesus said that won't happen. If you could never find a Bible-believing church to go to, the devil could say, victory! But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No. You'll be able to find. Now, granted, they're becoming fewer and far between. That's for sure. And there's a whole lot of them, churches out there that aren't preaching the Bible. That's for sure. You're right there. I agree. If you want the truth, you'll always be able to find a church that's preaching the truth. If you can't find one in the town you're planning on moving to, don't move there. Move to another town where you do find one. Because you and I need the truth of the Word of God, folks, more than anything. And so does your family. Because that's where we learn about Him and draw closer to Him. They were serving in the local church. You see, the church had observed them to be faithful. That's part of how they were being called. They saw the burden. They saw the labors. They saw the faithfulness. And we've seen all that with Matt and Rebecca. And by the way, when missionaries come here, I read their letters. I read their letters from their pastors. I know what they've been doing in their local churches. It's not a mystery to me. You see, when they've come here, they've already been serving somewhere else faithfully for years. And there are believers that are testifying to that.
And thank God for that. That service. These weren't ordained in a hurry. They fasted and prayed in Acts 13:3. Laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And Paul, in 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul wrote to Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. In other words, laying on hands was a picture of sending them out to a mission.
Paul said, don't do that quickly. And I'm sure they didn't do it quickly in Antioch.
There was a lot of prayer. There was some fasting to be sure that that was God's will. We first ordained deacons here. Brother Dennis, Brother Brian. It didn't happen quickly.
How many years, Brother Dennis, was you here for? It was some years that they were here before we had any deacons. But the church deemed them faithful. And they needed some deacons. And through the recommendation of the church and such, we were able to take them on as deacons.
Laborers, faithful. I'm thankful for those who labor. By the way, do you know that serving the Lord is hard? It's hard work. There's a lot of work to do. Matt was... Let me just back up.
I remember being called to Bible college. I never drank coffee until I was 30 years old and went to Bible college. It was staying up at night, studying, trying working a job also. Going to school during the day. They only had school during the first half of the day. No other option. Couldn't take it online. Couldn't go at night. Had to find a job around that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of labor. This dear woman here typed all my papers for me in college. And she took care of those children at home. And she served the local church in multiple ministries. And many times at night she would come home dead tired. I've seen her minister in this church today, to this day, ministering to the needs of others and wore out to exhaustion. It's hard. It's not easy. Matt was saying, since they've been invited to the board, on the board, now he's working a job that doesn't make as much money. Get a little bit of support. I think we're the only ones that, probably their church has supported them now that they're with the board also. We're sending them some support. But he was asking me for prayer about what to do, because now he has requirements to fulfill also for the mission board. I can only imagine. We didn't come with the board when we came out. So I was telling Rebecca that that's really something that I don't have experience in that. And so I can only imagine what they're laying on them. But the load is heavy. It's not easy. Yesterday, Rebecca came to visit us with the kids. She's 5 kids at home, doing all the things a missionary's wife does. She planned to come see us on Saturday and visit us. She did. Well, before she came, her pastor called her. They were having a teacher's meeting at the church. And they had sitters there. They had a nursery there. And so they wanted her to come. You know what she did? She went. Already planned out. Her Saturday got that much longer. And she went there. And by the way, wanting to. Not whining, complaining, No, she did that wanting to, knowing that she would learn from that. And then she came and visited Mom and Dad and let us see the grandkids. And then she rushed home to get time to be with Matt, because one of the few days that he'll be home for dinner Saturday night after he works at FedEx for their longer hours and stuff that they have there. But Saturday he can get home early and for dinner. And so she rushed home to make dinner. And of course, Matt couldn't take part in meeting with Mom and Dad and to visit there. Why? Because his calling.
It's hard. There's a lot of work. You know, I wish that we would realize as believers, it's not easy serving God. We need laborers. I've said it here before. I'll say it again. Everybody that's a believer in local church ought to be willing to minister at some time during the week, at least once a week, and miss a service. At least once a week. I've said that before. It shouldn't be a surprise. I'm saying it again now. We have four services where you can hear the Word of God. And one of those services, you ought to be willing to minister once a week. And many of you, you're doing all that God's called you to do. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Some of you maybe could do more. Some of you, you work in a ministry, but we don't have that type of ministry. I understand that. And God knows we're a small church. I understand that. I'm just saying that willing heart. You know, to serve, to work, to labor. The missionary was to be not a novice. They'd have a good report of them which are without the work of Christianity. It's hard. I heard this on a, I think it was Focus on the Family or something. And the family is important to God. Don't forsake your family for the church. You have to take care of your family. But I heard this. This pastor, he was a teen pastor. And he was talking about his teen ministry at church. And he was excited, you know, wanted to see the teens saved and help them to grow. And as he was getting ready to go off to the teen ministry one day, his little daughter asked him, she wasn't a teen yet, she was younger, I forget the exact age. He says, well, I'm going to teach the teens about Jesus. And his daughter said, Daddy, when are you going to teach me about Jesus? And you know what this man said on Folks in the Family? He said, so I decided that it was time for me to quit my teen ministry. And when my daughter turns 18, then I'll come back and I'll do the teen ministry. I understand the thought. But folks, God wanted to do both. What about the teens that don't have godly Christian parents? Who's going to reach them? We have to reach out. What God calls us to do, folks, may wear us out. But He'll give us the strength. Because there's people that don't have a godly family. And they need somebody who will take care of their family and reach out to their family. And it's not easy. It's work. Paul said after he described all of his tough circumstances, he says, he labored in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, and often in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. It was tough. And he says, and besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He didn't give up the care of the churches because of the other difficulties. He said, I got to handle them both. Laborers. By the way, didn't our Lord get weary? Remember you said, Mark 6:31, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. How many have been that busy lately? Didn't even have time to eat. In Mark 3:21, when they looked at Jesus ministering, they said this, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. That's what they said about Jesus. This is a crazy man. He has all these crowds around him, so he and his disciples don't even have time to eat dinner. Well, Jesus was overworking. No, he wasn't. He was doing what the Father called him to do. He had a limited time. And he worked himself weary to the bone, folks. He, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, John 4 tells us. Why? Because there's souls to save, their life to change, and time is running out. And some of us need to realize, I got to work hard.
I want to be a better witness for Jesus. It's going to be tired. It's going to wear me out.
I'm thankful for those that teach lessons. Brother Dennis doesn't get paid to teach a lesson.
Brother Brian.
And I'm sure some of those lessons take hours of study. They're not getting paid for that. By the way, if the Lord ever makes a way you can teach here, you won't get paid for it either. unless God calls you full time in some way. But you know what? It's okay. Because it's God's work, amen? It has what? Eternal rewards. And God is the provider of all our other needs also. It's okay. Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will very gladly what? Spend and be spent for you. By the way, Paul said that to a church that didn't support him. The Philippian church supported him. The Corinthian church didn't. And he labored more for the Corinthian church than he did the Philippian church. And he said, and by the way, I will keep doing that. Why? He says, because I remember how God labored for me through Christ. Because of their sacrifice. They're worthy of that support. Lastly, because of their supply. Because of their supply. Oh, I didn't talk right through that one. Because of their supply. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me," that has the idea of giving, "as concerning giving and receiving," there it is, "but ye only. Even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account." What do missionaries do? They serve God. How do we know that? Because they've already proved it before they left. And now they're going to do the same thing they did in some local church already. They've already proven themselves faithful. They didn't do it for a paycheck then. And by the way, they're not doing it for a paycheck now. But God says, send them one. Take care of them because of that. Paul says, "I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I mean, you've read those letters back there. We leave them sitting back there. When I try to remember, I read them up here and I leave them sitting back there. They got those pictures on there. We read about those people being saved over there. What do you hear often? None of it can be possible without what? What is sent. See, because churches send, they don't have to try to find a job over there. They're doing their calling. They're working full time on getting the gospel out, on helping those believers to grow. And so they're thanking the church. And by the way, the souls that get saved are what? Thanking them that the gospel got there. And so Paul, he wrote about how when the Corinthians were faithful to give that gift of money to the poor people that were in Jerusalem, When they were faithful, and the church at Philippi sent some too, and probably Thessalonica and others, they sent that offering there. Here's what he said to that offering about that ministry. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints," yes, the needs were provided, thank God, "but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." What happened? Because they were faithful to give, God was thanked. How many like God to be praised more? How many like to hear more mouths praising God, more hands praising God? Listen, when we support missionaries, and you know what happens? The missionaries praise God. And by the way, when the missionaries preach the gospel and those people get saved, guess what they do? They praise God, amen? And so we're all a part, as we give and as we pray together for missions, we are a part of God receiving more praise. I can't think of anything better than that. Amen. Why? Because no one loves souls like God does. And he loves every one of them. He's not one that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But they must believe the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Think about this and I'm done. At Phu Village in South Vietnam in 1967, a woman prepared to start her fire to cook her meal, as she'd done 1,000 times before. She doused some charcoal with gasoline and lit it. This time, however, the flames shot to the roof of her bamboo hut and ignited a conflagration that ended up destroying 2/3 of the village. The U.S. Special Forces operation was in Camp Dan Nam. At that time, they came to the rescue. Fire roared from thatch roof to thatch roof, just close together along the river there. The bucket brigade was insufficient to slow the blazes. Finally, the U.S. forces destroyed 3 of the houses and pushed them into the nearby river, creating a fire break which saved 1/3 of the village. You know, every day, the world is going around doing their thing. Many times not even stopping for a moment to think about God. And they're headed toward a great fire. A fire in eternity. But folks, we have the fire break. It's Jesus. You see, in order to save the village, some houses had to be consumed to stop the fire. In order to save our souls, one's being had to be consumed, in a sense. That was Jesus Christ. And he gave himself up an offering for the whole world. He became our fire break, folks. And now everyone who receives him, the Bible says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Whoever receives Christ as Savior skips condemnation and goes to eternal life. Why? Because the firebreak was made. They accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made. And isn't it wonderful that we, through prayer and support as God leads, can support missionaries who many times have given up the things that we enjoy here. And I'll guarantee you, it's not easy for them. It's not easy. Pray for the cooks. Even before I heard Matt ask for prayer regarding the load, I've been praying for them early week because Lord laid it on my heart. I knew something was up. And I began praying for him. So I told Rebecca, I've already been and I will continue. Because that load gets heavy sometimes, folks. And we need to support our missionaries, amen. And give them as God directs. I'm looking forward to preaching the message tonight. I'd encourage you to come if you can. If you can't come, please listen to it online when it gets put online. I mentioned last week that I could show you in the Bible why Old Testament tithing is for Christians. I was mistaken in that. Christians aren't commanded to tithe. I will say this, and I will show it to you from the Bible tonight. I pray in a way that will make you never forget. Let me say this. Christians should tithe and more.
Christians should tithe and more. And I'll show you that Old and New Testament tonight. Hope that you can come. If not, look that up online. And I think it'll be life-changing for you. It'll definitely be life-changing for the ministry of God if there's a believer that hasn't surrendered to at least tithing and then doing more as God calls. Because He doesn't make you. You see, love isn't forced. I don't have to say, my wife never said to me, "You have to tell me you love me." But you know what? If I do, I should, shouldn't I? And if I don't, if I never did, would she have a right to doubt my love? Yeah, she would. But you see, I don't have to say that. And giving, God has made giving the same way. It's an opportunity, the Bible says, to show the proof of our love. Because God doesn't want it forced. You'll see tonight. And I pray it'll change your life, bring joy into your life. And your giving will be what God directs and what God wants it to be. And by the way, all He calls you to give, here's the good news, He'll provide. He's not going to call you to give it if He won't provide it, folks. He won't do that. Because that's the side of His love toward us. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this church. And Father, I look forward to this fellowship every week. And God, I'm thankful for this church that You have allowed us to give to missionaries and give more than anybody would think a small little church like this could give. I don't know where it comes from, God. I just know that that I've tried to be an example in giving as You call us to give as a family. And You've always met our needs, God. You provided our needs. I know many of these here, as they give, and they would testify, You've done the same for them. They began to give what You called them to give, and they still haven't found themselves in need. What can we do but praise Your name for that, God? Because Your grace provides that. Father, I pray as our love grows for You, like Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that portion of that love would grow in us as well. That we would just give, each of us, as You call us to give. I thank You for the lesson this morning, the privilege to support and pray for, and perhaps even go as a missionary, should You call someone from our midst. And we pray You'd help them, each one, be with that trial that's before them. Father, we do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.